Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer.
And I'm Rebecca Green. A warning, our next conversation addresses suicide among other sensitive topics. If you don't want to listen to it, this would be a good time to turn away for a few minutes. During the second half of March, the hashtag Justice for Taymon took off on social media after Taymon Blair, a 21-year-old from Huntersville, North Carolina, was found dead of asphyxiation inside his semi-truck in Fort Wayne. The social media post expressed disbelief in the police and coroner's ruling of a suicide, and instead arguing that Blair had been lynched in modern-day Indiana, and expressing concern and outrage about the lack of coverage surrounding this alleged lynching. WBOI's Barb Anguiano joins me in the studio today to talk about the story, the unique nature of the situation surrounding the story, and how it impacted her as she reported on it. Barb, tell me a little bit about what happened to Taymon Blair and where your reporting took you.
So I thought this was going to be a very straightforward story. You get one side, you get the other side. But what I found was that it wasn't so clear cut.
What did you notice first?
So what I noticed first was the certainty in the statements in the post. Couple of things. One, the use of the word lynched, which to me seemed very loaded and seemed like very specific. And two was, you know, media outlets don't cover this. And so if you remember, we talked about it when it first came up and you said, well, why would we cover it if we looked in the police records?
And it's a suicide.
And it was marked as a suicide, which then led us to, well, we wouldn't even really cover it because it's a suicide. Mm-hmm. As far as we know, to what police had to say. The other side of it, though, is we can't completely disregard where we are geopolitically. And the fact that where we stand right now speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. So Indiana has this sort of presence of being, you know, racist, being a
home for the Klan.
Yes. Yes. The Klan was a big topic that kept coming up. Mm-hmm. And so when you know, even if inadvertently, the word lynching wasn't meant to bring in that association with the Klan.
It does.
Did it. Right. It does. You know, if you look through the Twitter of hashtag justice for Taymon, this is just one example. But, you know, somebody posted that hashtag with pictures of business cards allegedly belonging to Klan members that had addresses in South Bend. And so it's just kind of like this idea of the police just aren't going to do their job because they're in cahoots, because it's a good old boys club.
So we have this perception that seems to be fueling this theory surrounding Taymon's death. And you set out to kind of research a little bit into that theory and find out why the theory that the police were presenting of his death was not being accepted. What did your research find as you looked into why that was not the case?
It wasn't so much the research, because the research all came back and pointed to the police department, to the coroner, saying this was a suicide.
They released a lot more information than they normally do.
Which, again, would be all the facts. But a lot of people that I spoke to kept bringing up the same idea. Yeah, but who controls the facts that come out? Who controls the release of those facts? Why should we believe that that's exactly how it happened, you know, when police now can expect to be live streamed during a traffic stop because people don't trust them? How can we believe that this is true when some people compared it for me to Sandra Bland's case, where police released the facts and once people dug into it a little deeper, was not at all
the facts.
The facts that went along with the case. The other thing is lately is with the federal investigations in Elkhart. Mm-hmm. So like we can look at it two ways. You know, in my mind, I looked at it as, okay, so if, you know, police are being investigated in Elkhart, an hour away on the toll road, why would Fort Wayne Police Department risk something like that? Mm-hmm. But if you ask anybody, any of the people who shared the hashtag, you'll hear, well, they're being investigated. That's a good example of how great police are in the state of Indiana.
It adds to the perception.
Yes. So, yeah, it adds to the perception. You know, the fact that police are being investigated in Elkhart an hour and a half away adds to the perception of, yes, but a lot of police are also how we're telling you they are.
So we have the police releasing information. The people, including the family in North Carolina, did not believe the police. There was, for a good amount of time, a lengthy social media campaign to move this narrative forward. There is, and one of the things that we've talked about as we talked about your reporting for this story was that there's another narrative that can be difficult to believe. And that's this kind of narrative of mental health and struggle. And what are some things that your reporting revealed about that?
Lately, I've been covering a lot on suicide awareness through Alice Jordan Miles at Purdue Fort Wayne and sort of her work with the behavioral sciences. One of the things we talked about during our initial interview was about minorities and suicide and mental health in general, and sort of how the unlikeliness of how taboo mental health still is in minority communities. For, you know, in layman's terms, it's a white people problem and something that we're not taught how to deal with it.
So what's our takeaway from this? What do we want to say about this? What do our listeners need to know about this story, about what happened?
I think that one of the big takeaways is, you know, check your sources. Media literacy is important. This is one of those cases where understanding that suicides are not reported on by local media because they're private matters.
They tend to be contagious as well. Coverage about suicides often causes suicides.
Right. And they're private, which is true of mental health. I think when you think mental health, you think personal. And I think when you think suicide, it's something extremely personal. But this idea of, you know, these loaded words like lynching and hung himself, I think you can't say the word lynching without there being an added...
It's a very specific word.
...race connotation when you're talking about it in the sense of a lynching in Indiana. So I think a lot of the takeaway here is, how is the state dealing with its past?
The past reputation precedes us and appears to have done so in this case and overshadowed or made it possible to believe the worst.
Yes. And in a time when we're talking about Confederate monuments, where we're talking about what does it mean to reckon with our past, when we're talking a lot about reparations on the campaign trail, I think that coming to terms with the past is going to be a theme we might be seeing more of. I think that one of the biggest takeaways is that we still haven't even scratched the surface of what... Like, we haven't even scratched the surface of the top layer of Indiana's very complicated past.
Barb, thanks for coming by WBOI Presents to tell us a little bit more about the story and its impact on both you and the community.